Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies All 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bishcake, CB, and JP. That's the foursome. And joining us right now on the Matt Swarhouse hotline is John Keim, covers the Redskins for ESPN.com. Hey, John.
John, are you there? Let me see. Trying to punch.
I'm here.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, Mr. Keim.
Here I am.
I don't know where we begin. Maybe we just start with Jay. It almost seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like this. We're early into the season, but man, it seems like all of the stress and the drama and everything is getting to him, right? Because he seems to be kind of sticking his foot in his mouth, kind of creating some situations and drama where he doesn't need to, you know, he needs to focus on this freaking team and get a W somehow. And he just, I don't know, it seems like the stress of everything is getting to him a little bit.
I think that there's been a little bit more of that, yes. And I think that was evident before this point. I mean, he's always been a pretty good guy to deal with in terms of just like his demeanor and all that, you know. Mm-hmm. We've seen the jokes that he was very loose before, and not that he's like somehow clamming up and everything and or just like tightening up all over the place, but you can see, I think, a different sort of strain. Yeah, like there's a definite tension. There's a definite tension there. And I think part of it too is sometimes I think he has to fight himself, because like I think there are certain questions he probably doesn't want to get asked because he knows it's hard sometimes for him not to answer the way he wants to or to answer honestly, if that makes sense. And so I think sometimes, like, you know, I think he'd rather just not get certain questions asked because then he doesn't have to answer them and maybe get in trouble later.
What's the deal? So defensively, obviously, they struggled. Now I see Jay throwing around the old Mike Nolan vanilla defense quote.
Oh, no.
Well, that was about this past week. And that wasn't – listen, in the opener, it was not vanilla. They were doing a lot of different things in terms of coverage. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, it's funny that he said that, because on my podcast last week, I talked to Chris Cooley about this, and his thing was maybe you should do a little bit less. Mm-hmm. Because the plays they got beat on – They were all various different coverages. I mean, there was inverted Tampa twos, inverted cover twos, things that, you know, they're just a little bit different. So that was not about that. What it was this past week, because they have,
they were limited.
And his point was because you have DRC in there instead of Quentin Dunbar, and you have a rookie and Jimmy Moreland still in there as a seventh round pick, and Cole Holcomb and John Bostic, who all knew that because of all that, you had to be a little bit more vanilla than you would like. So that's what that was in reference to.
Does he have the power if he wanted? Where does he stand with Greg? Is Greg like a longtime buddy of his? Is Greg a Bruce guy? If he wanted to, and we all know that Greg sat in on the interviews with his potential replacements and how awkward and weird that whole thing was. But if Jay wanted to make a move, could he alone fire Greg?
Oh, I don't think so at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we've seen with some other things that maybe haven't gone the way he's wanted them to, that I don't see that he would be able to make that move.
Right. So that has
not
to come
on his
from
own,
Bruce.
Not on his own.
That has to come from Bruce.
I think any move like that would come from above, and you know, I think he'd need to be on board with that, and maybe he could at least be. And I don't know it's just in terms of it, the way it comes across right now is that even if he wanted to, it would have to be cleared by above. I just don't think he could do that, you know, on his own.
Do you think he wants to?
I don't know that we're there yet, but there have been a couple things that he said as far as the, the first couple weeks, where are they reaching, after the game,
right.
He talked about not reaching him. Then out, he walked that back yesterday. But this is what—that's what he said after the game. And then there were a couple things last week, and he's talked about, you know, maybe we, you know, don't, you shouldn't, you know, shouldn't be playing as much off or whatever. You know, tighten up the coverage, things like that. So there have been things that he's that have come out that make you wonder what's.
Seems what like he's laying the foundation is. For it. You know what I mean? That's what it sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, well, and I'll say this, like, you know, the defense has to play better and the coaching has to be better because it's the results have been the same over the last few years. But this is also the guy they chose to put in place. So, you know, it ultimately comes back to the head guy.
So, John, the Bears defense is coming in, it's coming in on Monday night, has managed 19 points in two games. They've been ugly to watch. If they come into FedEx and somehow score, you know, 24, 28, 30 points, God forbid, do you think that would cost him his job? Not that it would solve anything in the short term, but.
Yeah, and it's hard to answer that. I mean, trust me, like, everybody's sitting there wondering the same thing because, you know, when you try to replace a guy in the off season and it doesn't go, you know that there's not a lot of leash there. So I think we all wonder that same thing. I don't know that that would be the case. I mean, I think the hard thing to know is, okay, then who, you know, they do have a couple coordinators on staff or former coordinators on staff that, you know, with Rob Ryan, Ray Horton. You know, one of the things that I was told last offseason, that one reason that Jim Tomsula came back is because Greg Minuski came back. So I don't know what would happen there. But, you know, I don't know. It's hard to speculate on what they might do in that sort of situation because I don't know. But we all know that the Heat would get turned up in a massive way.
All right, so how do they become more effective on defense, knowing that they're somewhat limited? They're not going to have everybody back. I hope they'll have Allen back. It doesn't sound like Dunbar's as close. Maybe they'll get Moreau, but I don't think he's as critical. I mean, maybe he is at this point.
Well, I think he is, just from a standpoint that he can go inside and outside too. So
okay.
If you had to, let's, for example, instead of putting DRC out there last week, you'd have had a Moreau outside and Moreland inside, most likely. So I think he's better at this point. So I think it would help, but to what degree, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's just someone else who knows the defense a little bit. So
what can they do? What can they do?
You know, it's funny because, like, in watching their games, I mean, they need a few things to add. First of all, I don't feel like they do a good job of generating pressure.
Right.
It seems like it's like when you're one-on-one battle, and if not, then there's no pressure. And I think there's sometimes you've got to try and generate it a little bit better, and that's something that hasn't taken place for whatever reason, whether it's design, whether it's players not executing, whatever. So whether it's some stunts, Montez Sweat has gone up against two really good pass protectors in the first 2 weeks, in Jason Peters and Tyron Smith, but he also can do some things, I think, that could help them maybe rushing inside on some stunts. Mm-hmm. Now, why they haven't done that, I don't know, but it would be nice to see him do that because maybe it can put him in a better spot to maybe get some pressure because it's not happening as much from the outside. He's just not at a point where he's ready to beat those kind of blockers on the outside.
I watch him on every play, and he doesn't seem to have a ton of moves. He looks stiff.
Yes.
What
part of it to me is, like, there are a couple things. I think there's sometimes you have to have a plan when you're a pass rusher. And I think I don't know that he has that sort of plan just yet. And it is really, really hard to come into the NFL as a pass rusher. I mean, Khalil Mack, I think his rookie year had like 4.5 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like guys just come in and get double digit sacks very often. So that said, though, they're still an adjustment period there. And then, you know, when you're watching, sometimes, like, again, you can see the thought process. Is he thinking too much about what he wants to do? Once you eliminate that, then you take another step. But then there are some times where, you know, I saw him, like, they're on the interception, for example, where Daron Payne gets the pressure. Daron Payne starts to the other side of the center, rushes past the left guard, a little stutter step move and a burst. But that stutter step was quick. And then I saw on the same play, Sweat tried a stutter step move too. but there's not the same level of quickness, a little bit wider, and so when he comes out of it, he's not in position to really get by Tyron Smith, and he gets kind of stood up. And it's like those kind of things where it's like you're still learning how to do that at an NFL level. And, you know, with him with two games, it's really hard to measure, but it's not like in camp that you saw this ton of success as a pass rusher just yet. I think it's just going to take him time in that area. He did make a nice play in the run game. He does have some power and just with setting the edge and all that, but I think as a pass rusher, it's just going to take him some time.
John, the running game has been an atrocity for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I don't think that Jay, I don't know this, I mean, we can assume based on what happened in week one when he didn't make AP active, but he doesn't want to run Peterson. He has to a little bit because they're down guys, but is there any thought, was he asked about changing the run game up a little bit because they're so predictable when he's back there? He can't do anything else besides maybe bounce out and get 8-10 yards, but they're so predictable offensively. Can they go smaller and just use Thompson more, maybe even use Smallwood, use Sims more, because they get nothing from the run game? Zippy.
Well, they're not getting anything, and they did use Smallwood and Thompson more in those roles the other day. So I think yes, that will continue to split things up. You know, and I would say too for Peterson, the blocking has to be better. You know, and that's up and down the line. That's at tight end. That has to improve, and I think that would be a big help as well. And listen, with Peterson, you know, what they need him to do is just not lose yards and at least keep yourself in a good down and distance situation. It doesn't have to be this dynamic. I don't think you're going to get a dynamic run game with him at this point, and you're not just going to slam him up the gut, because, you know, which is what some people seem to want, because that's not going to be good for this offense either. And then, you know, he did, you know, one of the things they can do off that is they can throw to him a little bit like they did on the boot inside the 10 the other day. But yes, I think, you know, that's why you did see Smallwood the other day and did see Thompson. I think when they're in that nickel offensive package, you're going to go a lot with Thompson because that fits what he can do well. But you also don't want to run Thompson a ton and because you just don't want to wear him down. But listen, going into this season, you thought the two things that you're going to have to do is run the ball and play good defense. They've done neither.
Right.
And it's the passing game that you say, hey, that passing game I think could be pretty good.
Right.
Let me ask you something. It seems like they're having more trouble on the right side of the line than the left side of the line. Fairly obvious anyway. Is it because they're getting more help on the left side and that's kind of exposing the right side? Maybe in the past the right side would get some help because you don't really need to help with Trent. That's just a theory. I don't know. I don't watch the film. What's going on there where it seems like we're having less of an issue on the left side than the right?
Yeah, and sometimes it depends on who's rushing. If you're, you know, going up against DeMarcus Lawrence versus someone else, and sometimes a lot of times Lawrence was lining up on that other side against the right side, they've had some issues on the stunts, and that's the thing that when you watch on the right side, that's where Morgan Moses has had some problems. And, you know, it looks like, you know, when you watch him, it looks like they're because he and Sheriff have worked together for a while. So they've handled those pretty well in the past. And there have been a couple times where Moses will hand the guy off inside. It's playing it perfectly. You slide back outside. But then you get the defensive lineman gets his hands in his chest and knocks him back or gets around him. So I think there's just some things at the end of those stunts that Morgan will have to clean up moving forward. And it's funny because, like, the right side has given up some problems. I think what's going on here, too, is you need the right side to be really, really, really good, okay? And it's not like the left side isn't having problems, because when you watch it, there's a lot of times where you see some stuff from Flowers or sometimes from Penn where you say, man, that doesn't look good, but it doesn't result in anything negative. So, and I think what they've done with the pass game, you know, in the first couple of weeks, I mean, they've done a good job avoiding sacks. And I think part of that is, you know, you give the line credit for that too, because even if you see some problems, like I've seen Flowers have some problems, but it hasn't hurt him sometimes because maybe he's able to stun the guy enough with his strength off the line. And then he gives up some issues, or then he bends at the waist and does some of his old problems. But Keenum has to, you know, what they need from him is get back one hitch, get the ball out. That's what they did very well against Philly. Dallas made him hold the ball a little bit longer, and that's, I think, you know, but he was still able to get it out before he had really big issues. But I do think part of that is the right side is where you expect it to be the bedrock, and it hasn't always, and they've had more of the holding penalties too. So I think Sheriff has been playing, you know, pretty well. I think Moses will have to get back to where they need him to be.
All right, John, we're up against the break here. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks for the
good
time.
Good stuff. Thank you. It's John Keim, of course, ESPN.com. Whew. So many issues, Cakes.
Well, we've got some Gruden clips. Maybe we can play some of them in the next segment. Not only does he talk about the team's vanilla defense, he talks about north-south running, which, of course, Pam Oliver brought up before the game.
He just keeps putting his foot in his mouth, you know, just making it awkward. Every week it's more awkward than
the
other.
He's just being honest.
He's being kind of honest, but yeah.
Winning cures all. The problem is they're not winning.
I think
they need a dub.
I think they have a good chance this week. I know it's a vaunted Bears defense. I think better than the first 2 weeks.
15% chance.
Oh, no. I think they have much better than the first 2 weeks. Much better. I still have them losing, 3 months ago when we went through and did the schedule, but I actually feel better about it than I did then.
All right, we'll get into that next. Phone number is 800-636-1067. Remember, coming up at 7:45, your chance to win Nats tickets right here on The Junkies.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Just got through talking to John Keim. Covers the Redskins for ESPN.com. We were talking about Jay Gruden. Gruden, pretty honest yesterday about the pass rush. Let's get to some of these clips and dive into what's going on here. If you look at the numbers, and I know it's a small sample size, 2 games, they are 30th in the NFL right now in terms of yards allowed.
Mm-hmm.
They have given up over 30 points in both games, and they have given up 64% of third downs. Teams have converted 18 out of 28 third downs. So those are just awful numbers.
Can't get off the field.
On the defense, and here is what Jay Gruden says about the pass rush.
Pass rush is not there. It's really not there. And, you know, Prescott's patting the ball 2 or 3 times, and when we do get pass rush, we're not tight enough in coverage. So it's a combination, really. You know, I'm not blaming the pass rush. I'm not blaming the coverage. It's a combination. So maybe we have to get some more exotic looks to make the quarterback hold the ball a little bit longer to get home with the pressure. But we got to rush a passer better, for sure. I think that's the biggest challenge for our defensive line this week.
See, that made no sense to me. We're not getting good coverage, but we're going to make him hold the ball a little longer. That's what he said.
I didn't take it that way.
He said, yeah, maybe we need to make him hold the ball a little longer, do some exotic looks. Hold longer, we'll be able to cover even less. The guys, instead of being 3 yards behind us, they'll be 10 yards behind us.
Maybe he wants the exotic looks.
Quicker.
He wants the exotic looks in the secondary to confuse the quarterback to make him hold it longer so that the pass rush can get home.
How about the secondary play basic? Because all they're doing is giving up long 50-yard touchdowns.
Well, I think what he's saying is, and here's what Gruden says, he expands about. I think what he's saying is that they're playing basic and it makes it easier for the quarterback to figure out.
With some of those pass issues with the corners and playing, is it more just you feel that you're playing off too much? Is that part
There's
of
some of it? Some of it, yeah. We were pretty, you know, vanilla yesterday, just with some of the moving parts we had at corner late in the week. You know, we're hoping to get maybe Dunbar or Fabian back, and that didn't happen. And you know, Cromartie coming in here at corner, and obviously more on nickel, still very young, so probably a little bit more vanilla than we'd like to be. So hopefully we can expand a little bit. If we can get Dunbar or Fabian back in the secondary, it'll help out a lot.
So is he playing to Dan Snyder there? Because remember, infamously, Dan Snyder early in his ownership, when Mike Nolan was the defensive coordinator and Dan Snyder hated the vanilla schemes that he was running, he had like a 5-gallon drum of vanilla ice cream allegedly put in Nolan's office to melt all over his desk.
I do remember that. Yeah.
I don't think Gruden doesn't know the reference, but it's interesting that he brings that up.
He's basically saying that it's easy for the quarterback, when the quarterback's getting to the line, and in this case, Dak Prescott, they're easily able to decipher if it's cover one, cover two, cover three, that type of thing. And what he's saying is, and it's funny because if you combine this with the reaching them comment, he's just not happy with the way that the defensive coaches are coaching the players. When he's saying, maybe we're not reaching them. Now he's saying maybe we should have more exotic looks to make the quarterback think a little bit.
Haven't they been saying that for years?
About,
it seems like that the defensive strategies are just vanilla.
I don't know.
There's nothing exotic.
Yes,
John said in the first week, though, it was different. When they had their full personnel out there, there were a lot of different exotic looks that they were doing.
Maybe it didn't work. I look at the results. They've got 2 sacks and 6 quarterback hits in 2 games. I watched the game last night, and granted, the Redskins don't have Myles Garrett. And there was a situation where Trevor Siemian was dropping back, and I think Cleveland brought the house. Outside of 2 corners, they brought 9 guys.
Well, why wouldn't you when you got Luke Falk back there?
Yeah. Or even Siemian, if you have
a backup.
And the Redskins, very rarely, I haven't seen any real corner blitzes.
The question is, if they give up a ton of points again.
They don't do that.
All right, to an offense that has struggled through 2 weeks.
They scored 19 points, the Bears.
Right, if they give up 27 points to the Bears and lose 27-17, will there be a change? Or will it be status quo for week 4?
That's the question.
I think if the Bears somehow come in here and score 30 points, I think you might just have to. Even though I don't think it really affects anything in the short term, you might just have to pull the plug on
Minuski.
But maybe
you have a different attack. You know, Minuski does seem to go with a more conservative style defense and basic. So maybe if you go to Tom Sula or Ryan, you're going to have different looks.
Ryan sucks.
I know his resume stinks when you actually look at the rankings.
Well, so does Minuski's.
The thing is, okay, Minuski sucks too.
They didn't bring back Joe Barry.
Wow. He sucked. The thing is, if there is some weird thing where, like, Tom Sula's like, if you fire Minuski, you're firing me too.
Right.
That might keep him for the year.
Oh, I don't know if those guys are going to tie themselves to Minuski. I don't know.
Well, it sounded like that. Did you hear what Kime said?
Are they all super loyal to him?
Tom Sula came back because Minuski was back.
Yeah. Phone number is 800-636-1067.
Good working relationship.
What do you think the Redskins should do about this defense? Here's what he says about the coaching staff now.
How much do you look at this, and you know, you talk about the injuries of the youth and all that, but also combined with is the message getting to them to do what they're supposed to do, to be disciplined to what they do?
Yeah, I think that's a combination. We got to do a better job teaching, for sure. You know, that's on us as coaches. That's something that's going to be a point of emphasis. We'll have, you know, more walkthrough time, hopefully, get some more meeting time so these guys study and learn and make sure they're in the right spot. And when they are in the right spot, we got to make sure we finish plays and make plays. I'm not going to say we were totally out of gaps all the time. They had some good hits too as well, but we will do a better job. I think the more these guys get comfortable with playing with each other, you know, Bostic, Holcomb, Sean Dion at linebacker, and obviously the safeties, Monte and Landon, and the corners, once we get the corners situated.
He just likes to list everybody
together.
I love that bit. That's his thing.
Smooth out pretty soon.
By the way, 800-636-1067. Again,
and then he loves to say, we got to do this, we got to get better at this, we got to get better at that. Well, that's obvious.
Again, they're 30th. In yardage, they have given up more than 30 points in both games. This is a team that's supposed to be led by the defense. 64% on third downs, and they have allowed 336 yards rushing through 2 games. Compare that to the 75 that they've amassed as a team.
Right.
They're getting pwned in the rushing column.
And they're 28th in sacks with 2 through 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just a horrible stat.
All right, well, Jonathan Allen's been out for 7 quarters.
By the way, what's Von Miller doing in Denver? 2 games, 0 sacks for the Broncos. I mean, what's happening? It's early. It's 2 games, but I mean, isn't he getting paid like $20 million a year?
Yeah, maybe he's getting double teamed.
Well, I think this is the week where you really have a great shot, because I'm sorry, they might have a great defense. They have very few weapons on offense, the Bears. I'm not scared of David Montgomery or Cordarrelle Patterson or Allen Robinson. Sorry, just not scared of those guys.
I'm not scared. Robinson's
of
pretty good.
Yeah,
Robinson's
Trubisky pretty, either.
I mean, and Tariq Cohen's the Redskins not bad out of the backfield.
The Redskins got roasted by Devin Smith, who's an afterthought, for a 50-plus yard touchdown. Mm-hmm. So if Devin Smith can roast you and burn you deep, Allen Robinson certainly can.
Yeah, but can Trubisky get on the ball?
I don't know.
I don't know. I think he's all right.
He's okay.
Now, if we make him look great, and all of a sudden he looks like Carson Wentz, he's evading the rush, he's making plays on with his legs and everything, then we're really going to be in trouble.
Their secondary is legit. Eddie Jackson's money, mm-hmm. Fuller's money. Now, they do have Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, your boy.
He can pick
he's terrible.
Him.
But they've got – their linebackers are good. I mean, they got Khalil Mack. I just think the Skins are going to struggle to score points now.
But they have
will Chicago struggle? Maybe.
I mean, Trubisky had 24 touchdowns, just 12 picks a year ago. Yeah. I think people just slaughter him. I don't think he's particularly great, but I think he's...
As far as the NFL goes, he's average.
I think he's every bit as good as Case Keenum. It'd say he's better.
Never forget that the Bears, unnecessarily, they traded up from 3 to 2 with the Niners to take Trubisky over Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. So that is damning for the Bears, unless he really develops.
Well, if they could have predicted the future, they would have had Mahomes.
Sure.
But they won 12 games with him.
Yeah, but I think that's an outlier.
Okay, yeah,
maybe.
That's coming back.
And they should have won a playoff game if they had a decent kicker.
No, the kicker missed 100 picks.
But they're coming back to earth.
And they should be 0-2. They just got gifted the win in Denver.
They got hooked.
Gift.
Yeah. Okay, but it's not like they got blown out in the first game. It was a 10-7 game.
Right.
I mean, they're a good team.
I'd say they're kind of mediocre.
When you score 9.5 points per game, it's hard for me to call you good.
They're a really good defense.
It's hard for me to call you a good
offense
team.
Offense has been obviously below average. But it's 2 weeks.
Yeah. Brian, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Yes, sir. A quick question. Do you think if they were to start the season off against the Giants and the Dolphins that we would be having this conversation? Do you think they'll be 2-0?
It'd be different.
Maybe. But we would be saying, well, look who they beat.
Right,
that's what we'd be saying.
But at least they'd be winning.
Right.
You know.
I don't know that they would beat the Giants, by the way.
Well, they
might be 1-1.
They better beat the Dolphins.
I'll say they beat the Dolphins.
1-1. All right, fine. Take 1-1.
I mean,
Daniel Jones could be playing in that game.
I think they'll beat the Dolphins, but I mean, from what I've seen through 2 weeks, you can't guarantee anything. Now, the Dolphins are actively trying to lose games.
I mean, the Dolphins
Redskins are not actively trying to lose games, allegedly.
Well,
still losing.
But the players aren't trying to lose games.
I understand.
The players are fighting for jobs, correct. Right. But the players are going to go out there and try and beat you.
Well, who was it that's playing Ohio State? Was it last week or this week? That said, do you know the schedule? Who's playing? Who's a terrible team, mediocre team?
They played Indiana
last past week.
No. Who do they play this week? Is it like a Kent State or something?
They're playing Miami of Ohio.
Yeah. The Miami of Ohio said, and this is great quote, it's kind of like being at recess and Ohio State got the first 85 picks.
Right.
That's
when you
true.
Play Ohio State, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's how it is when you're playing the Dolphins. They're all trying, but you got the first 45 picks.
I agree.
Right.
I mean, the Redskins on paper are better, but who knows? I mean, we just don't know.
Right.
Brian, though, you make a good point. Had their schedule been different to start the season, the conversation would be different. The thing about these two losses, we expected them really to lose these games. It's how it has happened and what has happened.
Yeah, but there's good and bad in there.
The defense has really been disappointing because a lot of people thought this was going to be a defense that could potentially be a top 10 defense, and they've given up so many yards. They've allowed so many third down conversions that it's not just us. Gruden is scratching his head wondering what's going on.
No, everybody knows. The defense is atrocious. It's like you can't even fathom how bad it is. They literally can't make a stop. They have, I believe, forced 2 punts after the first quarter through the first 2 games. They forced 0 punts in the second half.
Oh, yeah.
They don't get stops.
It seems to me, I said this on TV in the postgame, it feels like a boxing match where a boxer often figures out who they're facing in the first couple of rounds. Like Floyd Mayweather did this to Conor McGregor, and then he just starts working them.
Right.
And that's what's happening
maybe
in these games.
What's happening.
There's a feeling out process. You kind of get sized. Oh, the Redskins are hanging in here. Oh, offense is surprising us. And then the heavyweight just starts taking over.
Well, I still think what's giving me a sliver of optimism is I do think they can still move the ball. Their running game is kind of a mess, but I still think they can. Their receivers are good enough. The scheme's good enough that they can score some points, and they can beat teams like the Bears, like the Giants. Doesn't mean they will, but it gives me hope. Now, when they play the elite teams that can score a bunch of points, we're not going to be able to keep up because we won't stop them. But a team that I think is somewhat mediocre on offense, those teams, we have a shot at, and I think this is one of them. That's what gives me a sliver of hope. If we had last year's offense, you know, with Alex Smith, even though he was protecting the ball with no big play potential, it would just, you wouldn't even bother to watch.
Well, it's good that you have hope.
Sliver. Sliver of
need
hope.
Hope sometimes.
Sliver of hope.
Need it.
Right. So you have a little. So if there's a pie,
yeah,
you've got a little tiny piece of it. It wouldn't fill you up.
Yeah.
It would probably be like
but
two
like
bites.
If we were playing, to, if we were playing with Alex Smith, the quarterback, the exact same pieces on offense, I would not feel optimistic this week against the Bears.
Well, this we'll see.
Because they just they had no punch to them.
We'll see what happens on Monday night. See, that's the other thing. You have to wait a whole weekend and not watch the
game. I hate that.
But Coach Wooten's basketball camp is the place this fall for players, coaches, and teams to grow. Small group skills training sessions, a coaches clinic, team tournament, all available this fall. Instruction is the difference of Coach Wooten's basketball camp. They instill a love for the game by teaching, having fun, no stress. Coach Wooten's basketball clinic is the nation's longest-running coaches clinic and allows all levels to learn from the leading college and high school coaches. Check it out at CoachWooten.com. Two O's and two T's. CoachWooten.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. As we do every morning at 7:45, we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of Nats tickets. So caller number 10, 800-636-1067. You're going to score a pair of ticks to see your Nationals take on Philly September 26th at Nats Park. 106.7 The Fan and PenFed Credit Union are taking you out to the ballgame all season long, courtesy of PenFed Credit Union. So call now to win those ducats, tickets.
All right, right now, though, we'll go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz. That's brought to you by Purple Heart Foundation, honoring their sacrifice, their service to help our military veterans. Visit DonatePurpleHeart.org.
Papa,
of course, they had a Monday Night Football matchup last night between the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets. Jets down to now a third-string quarterback because you had Sam Darnold out with mono. So that meant Trevor Siemian, who used to play quarterback for the Broncos, in as the starter, but he gets hurt, which meant Luke Falk, a sixth-round pick, took over, and they mustered 3 points against the Browns,
yep,
who got a long touchdown from Odell Beckham Jr., who once again wore like $1 million watch or $2 million watch, whatever it is.
Well, it was $350,000
last week. At
least
he's not all about the attention dollars, not all about himself.
I mean, Cakes was just saying during the break that he was not impressed with Mayfield last night, and I watched a little bit of the first quarter. I didn't watch the whole game. But, you know, his overall numbers looked decent because of the 325.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, 90 of that was Beckham's touchdown, mm-hmm, and a lot of that 90 was yak.
Correct.
I mean, it's like a 10-yard pass.
He just didn't look comfortable. He was missing guys. Yeah. He was sailing the ball. Like, and I only watched the first half, but... And it was one game, road game.
Good.
I was generally unimpressed by him.
I agree
in
with you.
In one half.
I was impressed with him last year.
Yeah.
But, and again, I watched the first half. There was one where he threw to Odell Beckham Jr. where he just sailed it for no reason. Like, he moved up in the pocket.
Right.
It looked like Beckham was breaking free, and he just, I mean, guys miss throws,
sure,
but.
And he's young. He's a young, developing quarterback. So,
yeah, I mean, there's a year's worth of film.
He's going to have
him,
uneven performances, and last night was one of them.
I saw some stats, and I mentioned this last week, where his quarterback rating was much better throwing to everybody other than Odell Beckham Jr.
Right.
And Jarvis Landry. And I'm sure when you have those stars, you feel like you got to give them some throws. But if they're getting doubled, you can't force them in there.
David Njoku goes out with a scary concussion where he landed on his head. He was upended by a Jets defender.
Right.
So he's in concussion protocol.
They didn't throw to Landry a bunch.
Not a lot.
He had 3 for 32.
And for all of you.
But again, it was the Jets with a third string quarterback after Siemian got hurt. You don't need much offense to beat them.
For everybody that scrambled out and got Jamison Crowder, myself included, after his week one performance where he was targeted 17 times, I believe he hauled in 14 catches, he came back to earth last night because, I mean, you have Trevor Siemian and Luke Falk delivering the ball instead of Darnold.
Right. And Lev Bell, they're going to, I mean, Falk's just going to dump it off to Bell.
Right.
and Bell had 10 targets. He had 10 catches.
Yep.
So in a PPR, Bell did okay last night. Mm-hmm. He didn't score, but overall numbers were decent.
Of course, Lev Bell, former Steeler. The Steelers now are going to be without Ben Roethlisberger. He's going to have surgery on his right elbow, miss the remainder of the season, according to Coach Mike Tomlin. That means they elevate Mason Rudolph starting quarterback position.
Is it Tommy John surgery?
It is not.
It's not Tommy John. Okay.
And he's expected to be ready for the start of next season.
All right, so essentially out for a year.
As far as picking our playoff winners, I have a caveat for Big Ben going out after week two?
No, nobody did.
I think I picked the Steelers to win the AFC North.
I think most of us did, maybe a couple. I know Valdez took the Ravens.
Yeah.
I took the Steelers. They're done.
I definitely picked them. I don't know if it was whether a wild card or division winner. I'm not liking that pick so much.
Yeah, so now you got Mason Rudolph out of Okie State.
And then
big kid, got a big arm. He might sling it around a little bit.
Yeah.
He might.
And then their running back situation, a little iffy in the James Conner banged up his knee.
He had
an MRI. They say no significant damage to the knee. And they do believe he will play against the Niners on Sunday. Of course, the Steelers are 0-2. More Steelers news. Last night, they make a trade. Minka Fitzpatrick comes over from the Miami Dolphins in exchange for a first-round pick next season.
Got his wish.
He makes it 8 first-round picks on that defense.
Got his wish. He begged to get out of there.
And now you look at what the Dolphins are doing.
And the Steelers, by the way, needed all kinds of help in the secondary. Because if you watch the first two games, there's just guys wide open.
Dolphins are loading up with picks. They have a first-rounder, their own first-rounder in 2020. They have the Steelers' first-round pick and the Texans' first-round pick. And in 2021, they'll have their first-round pick as well as the Texans' first-round pick.
Right.
And the Texans' second-round pick in 2021 as well.
It's a tankathon with the Dolphins.
Yep.
Let's see if it works out. It might take 3 years.
Somebody send this bulletin to Bruce Allen and Dan Snyder. This is how you remake your roster.
Yeah, like you said.
Not the way you're presently doing it. I mean, this is the way you do it.
Just next year, 3 first-rounders and 2 second-rounders.
Right.
And then the following year, 2 first-rounders, 2 second-rounders. So the next couple of years, they need to hit on their picks, but they're going to have high picks.
And it'll be painful if you're a Dolphins fan, but hopefully you come out on the other end of it with a much more talented roster.
Does this move make sense, though, to you for the Steelers? They give up a first-round pick to bolster
they
a
usually
defense
don't do
when
that.
They're 0-2 and are going to have a backup quarterback the rest of the way.
Maybe they've got a lot of faith in Mason Rudolph. I don't know.
Yeah, now, Fitzpatrick's young. They're not giving up.
He was the number 11 pick last
Clearly
year.
Clearly not giving up.
Yeah, they're not giving up.
And he was, according to Next Gen Stats, the 6th-ranked defensive back in the league.
And probably the happiest guy in America leaving Miami to go play for the Steelers.
Yeah.
I mean, Miami is as
usually,
bad as the Steelers
usually you
are,
wouldn't want to leave Miami to go to Pittsburgh.
You wouldn't. And as bad as the Steelers might be without Ben, it's a better situation for him not to be in Miami.
New Orleans has to deal with a backup quarterback situation now, too. Teddy Bridgewater takes over. Drew Brees suffered a thumb injury, which forced him out in that loss to the Rams. He'd only missed one game, I think, by injury in his career, like going all the way back to like high school.
Right.
And it was kind of a freak injury, too. His hand just hit Aaron Donald when he was following through off a throw, and he couldn't even grip the ball on the sideline.
How long until we see Taysom Hill possibly take over for Teddy Bridgewater?
I don't know. Teddy wasn't very good.
Now, he wasn't very good. He didn't, of course, he didn't get the snaps.
I don't know
practice.
How good Taysom would be either. But
I don't know how good he would be, but I'm going to forecast that Bridgewater is not going to look very good in Seattle, and then there's going to be clamoring for Taysom Hill to take over.
Could happen.
We'll see.
Think about how the league is potentially changing here. Tom Brady still healthy. I mean, it's amazing he remains healthy, but Big Ben has been around for, 15 years? Drew in Pittsburgh, Drew Brees,
mm-hmm.
15 years essentially with the Saints.
Yep.
Eli Manning, it's only a matter of time before he's benched.
Right.
It might
be this week. I mean, there's
yeah, because
growing sentiment.
Changing of the Shermer guard. Was asked about that, right, and he said he was not completely sold that Eli would start this week.
Right.
He just said something like they're evaluating.
It's funny,
my brother sent me a message. He doesn't listen to a ton of sports talk radio in New York, but he happened to be listening to Mike Francesa with mm-hmm. Shermer. He said Shermer was just getting brutalized by Francesa. Mm-hmm. Francesa basically said something like, your career record is 19-35 or whatever
right.
it is. Why should you be running the show
just pwning
in
him.
New York?
Right. Well, he might not for much longer, depending on how this season turns out.
Well, I mean, it depends. does he want to go to Daniel Jones?
He probably does.
Shurmur does. Yeah, 100%.
So if he's getting pressure to keep playing Eli, who looked terrible last week,
then what can you do?
That's what I mean.
He's a terrible quarterback.
So if your coach doesn't have the power to play whoever he wants a quarterback, how can you blame Shurmur? He might want to go to Daniel Jones.
Shurmur wants to play Daniel Jones. At some
point,
he should say,
you know what? F that. I'm playing Daniel Jones this week.
If you've
got to fire me, fire me.
He shouldn't even tell Mara. He shouldn't even tell. He just.
To start him.
Just walk into the locker room 5 minutes before the game and say, "Yeah, toss him the keys. Say, Eli, I'm sorry. Thank you for your service. Say hello to the bench. We're going with Jones."
It took Jay a while to get up the nerve and the stones to bench RG3.
Because if you're Shurmur and you know you're a dead man walking anyway, just do it. What do you have to lose?
Yeah, if they fire you, you're still getting paid.
You're still getting paid. You're going to land a coordinator gig somewhere. You'll be fine.
Yeah, but he'll probably never be a head coach again.
It's fine.
He doesn't deserve that. There are many reasons for that.
Yeah.
Well, that's why these guys don't want to just get fired.
Eli Manning gets booed every week at home.
Yeah.
Every time he plays, he gets booed.
Right.
I guarantee you, if Daniel Jones trotted on the field, there would be a round of applause.
An eruption.
Yes.
Of applause for him.
I mean, Pat Shurmur's 15-36 as a head coach in the league. 15-36.
Agreed. That's why he doesn't want to blow this one. He's gonna cater to the owner a little bit. And then when it becomes obvious, then Jones will trot out there, and it'll be his last
shot. His best record as an NFL head coach, and he's been able to do it twice, is 5-11.
No. Yeah. That's his high water mark?
I mean, he did coach the Browns.
That's true.
I mean, nobody
could win there.
Even Belichick lost there.
All right, coming up next, Michael Lombardi's going to join us. Now Radio.com Sports NFL Insider has a new book called Gridiron Genius. He's been part of an organization with Bill Walsh and Bill Belichick. We'll talk more football here on The Fan. The Junkies. Don't go anywhere.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.